It's not about doing the occasional big things. It's about doing the consistent small things.
If you go to the gym and you work out and you come back and you look in the mirror, you will see nothing. And if you go to the gym the next day and you come back and you look in the mirror, you will see nothing. So clearly there's no results, can't be measured, it must not be effective. So we quit. Or if you fundamentally believe that this is the right course of action and stick with it, you commit yourself to the regime, the exercise. If you stick with it consistently, I'm not exactly sure what day, but I know you'll start getting into shape. There's no event. It's an accumulation of lots and lots of little things that anyone by themselves is innocuous and useless. But if you do it consistently, and you do it in combination with lots of other little things, it's those little innocuous things that you do over and over and over and over that matter the most.
When you're consistently good, when you are consistently true to your word and to your values, when what you say and what you do consistently measures up, and that there's a sense of cohesion in your thoughts and your words and your actions and your questions, when all of it comes together in a consistent way, then all of a sudden the people say, I buy into that person.
What I did yesterday got me to where I am today. But what I did yesterday is not going to help me to stay where I am today. Do you understand me? You don't get out of life what you want. You get what you earn.
Here, this is an everyday gig. Every day is a Monday. Every day is a beginning, a new day, a new shot at life. An opportunity to come out of the gate like a man possessed and attack the day without mercy.
Every one of you in 5 years from now is going to arrive somewhere. Here's the thing. So many people, we just throw our lives up in the air and rely on chance and just hope it all works out. You don't have to throw your life up to chance. Your life can be a choice, and you can choose where you want to go the next 5 years and beyond.
You are powerful, and you are impactful, and you are in control.
Today, I'm putting the pressure on. I'm the aggressor. I'm on the attack. And I will not.
Wow, I think we could just go home right now, right? Man, that gets us going for the day. Well, hey, it's great to have you here this morning, and we're in a series called Breakthrough. If you're here for the first time, welcome. My name's Kurt, if we've not had a chance to meet, and we're just looking at how we can be better in this upcoming year. I think every time we get to the end of a year, we really want the next year to be better, regardless of how the previous year went. We could have a great year, but there's still things we want traction on, or we may just be like, you know what, I'm burying the past year, it's time for a fresh start. So wherever you find yourself this morning, we're glad you're here. It's great to have you here at Crosspoint. We realize there's so many places you could be. Let me pray for us before we go any further this morning. God, thank you for this time, the chance to gather in this setting in a dark room where you know, we can just kind of explore and sense what you may want to do in our lives. We're not here because we don't have anything to do on a Sunday. There are tons of things we could be doing right now. We're here because we have a sense of wanting to go somewhere new. We want to grow. We want to see how we can tap into your presence and power in our lives, what that might look like for us to do that again or to do that for the first time. And so we just pray that you would meet us where we are today, connect with us, whatever is going on in our minds and our life right now, because that's what you have the unique ability to do. And we thank you for this, and we pray these things in your character. Amen. Well, you know, one of the things I've discovered about this time of year especially is there are goal setters and non-goal setters. Have you noticed that? Which is awesome. I mean, you know which one you are. And you know what happens between goal setters and non-goal setters? They get married. They have a way of marrying one another. And then life is really interesting, right? Some of you may be in that right now. My wife and I, we actually are both goal setters. Sometimes we set goals on different things. And so that creates some interesting conversation nonetheless. Wherever you are on that, we're glad you're here as we kick off the new year. This new series, we're just trying to figure out, we all want to be better. We want to experience new things. And so we're peeling back the onion, if you will, on some of the processes and the things that we believe we see that God kind of lays out for us that can help us get to new places, as well as just things you and I know, things that are practical and that we generally know, but for some reason we tend to forget this time of year. And so that's really what we're going to zero in on today, is a principle that I think we all intuitively know, but we forget every time we get to the new year. And we believe that it will help this upcoming year be better than last year. And I think that's what we all want. And you may even have the best year yet. And one of the reasons we're doing this is I believe that's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. I think God wants you to have the best year yet. And let me tell you why. Let me get a little personal on this. I'm a dad. I'm an imperfect father. I have four kids, and they would tell you I am not a perfect dad. I'm very imperfect. And yet, I want each of my four kids to have the absolute best year of their life yet. I want this year to be the best for them. And if I want that as an imperfect father, how much more would a good, good father, our Heavenly Father, want that for us? In fact, Jesus even talked about that's one of the reasons he came. He said, I came, and we just celebrated Jesus coming, right? Christmas, that's what Christmas is. It's God sending himself in the form of Jesus to this side of reality, this side of the plane, so that we can not only see who he is and what he's like, and not only know that he cares and that he understands what's going on down here, but he sent himself to live among us, teach us. But he also said, I came to bring you something. In fact, Jesus talks about it in John 10:10. He says, I came so that they, and they is you and me, I came that they may have real and eternal life. And look at this next phrase, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And so your Heavenly Father actually dreams this for you. This is one of his dreams for your life. And so today, we're going to dive into something that I think really can make this upcoming year better than the last year, regardless of how the last year went for us. And to do that, we're going to have to think of an area in our life that we want to get some traction on. Last week, if you're here, you went through a process as we talked about the blahs, the break, the blues, and the blessing. And if you weren't here last week, you can go back and listen on the podcast, because I'm not really going to have time to recap this morning. But today, we're going to hone in on that area. You may have made a break from the blahs, and so maybe it falls into one of these areas. But here's the list right here that I want us to think about today. Five areas, certainly not all areas of our life, but five major, major areas we often want traction on. And so you might be looking at this and going, yes, financially, maybe I have way too much spending that's overshadowing my savings, so I want to make some changes there. Or maybe it's relationally. There's a relationship in your life in some form that you want to go to a different place. So you realize there needs to be some new traction, new momentum. Maybe for you, it's physical. Maybe you're like, yes, I do need to eat more kale. I should eat more broccoli on my plate. Or I need to work out two times a week. Whatever it might be, four times a week. You want to make a change and gain some momentum there. Maybe it is in your career. Maybe it's receiving feedback that you want to get better at. Maybe you want to grow your EQ. Or here's an interesting one. Maybe you just, you're like, I need to choose a better attitude in my work. Interesting statistic from our friends at Inspire Your People. They said there's three types of people in the world today. 54% of us are disengaged in our workplaces, meaning we're not necessarily promoting the mission of our organization or business that we work for, but we're not working against it. You're what's called a GOMO if you fall into that frame. You're going through the motions, a GOMO. But get this, 17% of us are actively disengaged. This is across organizations and businesses, meaning 17% of our culture are working against the organization they work for. They're working against the mission, trying to sabotage it. These are called degrunts, disgruntled people who are just totally disgruntled. You put those two numbers together, that means 71% of our culture is going through the motions or worse in the workplace. And so we might just need to choose a new attitude because that's not benefiting anyone, right? Ourselves included or our families. Or maybe you just want to get traction in the spiritual, which is really cool because if you're here, sitting here as you are today, or if you're listening on the podcast, you're actually making progress on this already. In fact, James, the brother of Jesus, he says this. He says, those who draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And so just being here today, you're actually already beginning to experience some momentum spiritually. So if you look at this list and you begin to hone in on an area, that's what I want you to do for the rest of our time today. And the challenge is one area. The goal setters in the room are like, I'm going for all five. I'm picking something in every area. Don't do that, all right? You're going to just pick one that you can begin to work on. Now, if you're looking at this list and you're like, Kurt, I don't know. I'm gonna do some other work because I'm good on all these. I got all the momentum I need. If you're feeling that way today, I'll tell you what you should do. When you go home, just ask the people close to you. Ask your spouse if you're married or your partner. Just say, hey, I think I'm really good on all these. What do you think? And I bet they'll have a different idea. So, you know, they'll have a different perspective. So they might give you insight on the traction that you need if you don't have an idea of where that is. But if you are saying yes financially or relationally or in my career or spiritually, there are some things I want to grow in. I want to introduce us today to a principle that you know, but we're going to look at it in some ways and really try to land it and how we can get traction through this week. And it's called the consistency effect. The consistency effect. Now, the consistency effect is how small things done consistently over time lead to really big things, really big results. Now, that the antithesis of this is true as well. Small negative things done consistently over time lead to some really big negative things. Now, I don't think any of us are going to walk out of here today and just go, you know what, I'm going to ruin my life today. Hopefully none of us are going to do that today. Now, if you are, or you're thinking that, or that's where your headspace is, I just want you to know, we would love to talk to you before you leave today, because you probably maybe need to talk to somebody today before you leave, or stay in your seat after service, and a member of our prayer team would be happy to pray with you. I just encourage you to make sure you connect with us if that's where your headspace is. For most of us, that's probably not what we're going to do. But that doesn't mean that we may not get to some negative places. In fact, a number of years ago, Julie and I, my wife, we used to go to Pendleton Reformatory every Friday night for a number of years, and we'd meet with about 15 men on what was called a count letter. It was a small group inside the prison walls, kind of spiritually mentoring and coaching men that were in this maximum security prison. And maximum security meant like you're there because of rape, murder, conspiracy, kidnapping, I mean, major things, right? Like pretty big crimes. And so the group we went with, we would go in and just mentor these guys, and I would often ask the question, because I'm an inquisitive person, hey, what were your goals? What were your dreams before you got into this place? Like, what did you want to do with your life? How did you get here? I mean, how did that disconnect, your dreams disconnect from whatever it took to get here? And let me tell you what I never heard a single inmate say, and I probably talked to 100, 125 inmates over about 7 years. I never heard a single one say, my dream was to be a convict. I never heard a single guy say, you know what, I want to ruin my life and spend the rest of my life behind bars. Never heard a single person say that. What I did hear, though, as a normal theme, was small negative things consistently done over time lead to really big negative results. It's a story of nearly every guy's life. Now, I'm not saying if we walk out of here and don't do this, you're going to land in prison. I'm not saying that, all right? But what I am saying is there's a reality there. And yet the antithesis of that is true. The good news is, if we do small positive things over time consistently, it leads to really good positive results. So this is what I want us to look at today, because for some reason we forget this time of year. We get into the first of the year and we have another word that overshadows this principle. And it's a good word. It's a word we really need to embrace, but sometimes it takes us away from the consistency effect. And that word that we tend to focus so much attention on that almost gets greater publicity than consistency is the word commitment. Right? And commitment's a good word. But see, commitment, here's what commitment will do for you. Commitment will get you to the starting line. Right? Commitment will get you to start something. Like last week, if you were here, you may have identified an area in the blahs where you're like, this area, it's just meh. It's just like, I'm dealing with it. I don't like it. I need to make a break and get to a new place. And you may have made the commitment to do that, which is always the first step. All right? It may have been saying, I'm going to get to a new place financially or in a relationship, in a marriage. I'm going to put some new relational boundaries in place. If you're a student, I'm going to, you know, try some different traction in my studies. I'm going to approach life different. I'm going to, try to put my phone down between 6 and 9 every night so I can connect with my family. Whatever it is, you made a break to try something different. That's great. It's a commitment. It will get you to January and through January, at least to today, because today is the day apparently all the resolutions and goals come to an end, January 12th. I don't know why that is. But consistency is the thing that gets us to the finish line. So commitment will get us to today, the day that most resolutions are reported to have failed, January 12th. But consistency is what will get you to July, and it will get you to September, and it will get you to December and into the next year. And so I want to give us just kind of some pictures of what this consistency effect looks like walked out. In fact, one of them, there's a guy by the name of David Bach, and he wrote a book called The Latte Factor. And so I want to give you this picture. And just so you know, before I explain this, I am not against lattes, all right? Love coffee, love lattes. If you're sipping on a latte right now, man, keep going. Don't put it down and feel guilty or shame. We're not about that at all. This is just an example, all right? But David Bach, he talks about the latte effect, which is that if you go and you buy a $3.50 latte every single day, and I know some of you are already, you know, creating an objection. You're like, well, I don't pay $3.50. I only pay $2.50. You might. Some of you pay $5. And so let's just say on average, it's $3.50 a day. He says, if you instead of putting that $3.50 toward that latte every day, and instead put it into a mutual account every day, and that mutual account earns 6% interest annually, if you do that for 30 consecutive years, that turns into $106,000. And so his argument is that's not just a $3.50 latte. That's actually $106,000, because this is what the consistency effect does for us. Now, for the latte drinkers in the room, you're like, but that means I go without a latte for 30 years. I will die. And you might. All right? You might. I get that. I totally understand the importance of coffee. Again, it's just a physical representation of something we consistently do day in, day out over time and how it actually leads to something really big. Now, let me give you another example of what this looks like here. I've got a couple jars of marbles right here, or one jar of marble, one empty jar, and I want to use these to illustrate something this morning. Obviously, one jar is full, one jar is empty. I want you to think of this jar as the new year. This jar represents the new year, and maybe, you know, some traction I want to get in my life, some area that I need momentum in. All right, and so maybe when you looked at those five things, you're like, this is what I want to get. That area is what I want to create some new traction in. And so if you want this upcoming year to be better than the last year in this area, you've got to identify that area, and then you've got to begin, as we know, to do simple practices or habits day in, day out that will lead you to that goal, right? And you know that today, when you practice, you know, that habit and you do it again tomorrow, you're actually practicing the latte effect. Small things done consistently over time lead to really big results. So yes, I'm gonna eat more broccoli today. Yes, I'm going to work out for, you know, run 2 miles today. Yes, I'm going to put my devices down. Yes, I'm going to, you know, increase my relational boundaries, whatever it might be. And what happens is over time, we tend to think, I'm not making much change. It's like in that video we just saw. You know, you look in the mirror after working out for 2 days, you don't see any change. Right? You worked really hard, you don't see any change. So what happens is we want to just pour everything in there, right? We want to do like a year's worth of workouts in one day. And you know how well that goes, right? You can't do it. Partly because the next day you will not be able to peel yourself off your bed. You will be down and your muscles will be so sore. So we know that doesn't work, but what we do know is that we can do small deposits over time, done daily and done consistently, because small things consistently done over time lead to really big results. Now let me tell you what our goal is here. And you know the goal. Let me just state it for clarity's sake. The goal is that this upcoming year, you would have more traction and more momentum in whatever area you've identified than you did last year, right? And so if that's our goal, then by the end of the first quarter, we hope to have a little fuller jar than we did at the beginning of the quarter. And at the end of second quarter, our jar to be a little more full than at the beginning or the end of the first quarter, and so on, to where we get to the end of the year and all of a sudden we're in a different place. Now, we know this intuitively. We know we can't dump the whole jar in here, but we do know that it happens one day, one habit, one practice at a time. And so the challenge is to be consistent, right? So there you go. That's it, all right? You can just go ahead and leave. You're done, all right? Have a good week. No, not really. You're like, he's surely not done. He never goes that short. So no, if I were to just send you out of here right now, this would be a good practice, but you're like, I've done that before, but then it fails eventually, right? I'd actually be doing you a disservice, because we're ignoring something right here. The thing we're ignoring is this jar, right? The reason that this jar didn't have any momentum in it, or there's certain things missing in this jar at the beginning of the year, is because there's something that maybe is going on inside the jar where we want to have the most improvement on. And so what's going on here is, when I show you this list of these five major areas, and you may have things outside of these areas, but when you look at these and you identify an area, you say, okay, this is what I want to focus on in this upcoming year. When we identify an area of improvement, guess what that also identifies? It identifies for us typically an area of weakness. It's usually an area that we just don't perform as well on, or we're just not as strong in. And so if we commit to make a change in that area, whether it's studying more as a student, or, you know, it's doing, you know, less unhealthy things and more healthy things, eventually that commitment is going to run out, because our strength, you know, will eventually run out. And so our commitment may be strong at the beginning, and we may be able to do this for a short time, but eventually our strength runs out, and guess what happens? You've experienced this. We stop. We stop the habit. We stop the things we've been doing. And it's not your fault, necessarily. You're just not strong in that area. Let's just be honest. It's not an area of strength. Now, the other thing we tend to do, this is interesting, is we tend to either compensate for or hide our areas of weakness, right? We just want to cover them up. We have this way. Think financially for a moment. If you have way too much month left at the end of your money and you need to go like on a spending freeze and not spend, for some reason, what do? We spend more. We go to Visa and just keep spending. Because it's like, we go out to lunch with somebody and they're like, hey, let's go to Houlihan's. You're like, no, how about like McDonald's, like the 99 cent special. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. They're like, is everything okay? You usually eat healthy, but you're eating here. And you know, do you not want to spend? You're like, oh no. No, we're going to do wine for everybody. Wine on me. Because, you know, it's like we compensate to show that, oh, I'm not on a spending freeze. I'm good. And so we cover. And you fill in the blank or whatever it is. We tend to cover and compensate for our areas where maybe we're wanting to improve. And so we act like they're not there. But see, the good news in all of this is God wants to help you with this right here. So many times we do this on our own strength. What I want us to see today, maybe the biggest thing we can walk away with today, is to see that God wants to help us in this area of improvement this year. And he wants to give you the strength, habit by habit, practice by practice, day in, day out, to have the best year yet. I think your Heavenly Father dreams that for you. And of course, the million-dollar question is, how do we do that? How do I get to that place? So that's what I want us to spend the rest of our time on this morning. Now, if you're new to the church thing, Jesus thing, maybe you're here today and it's the first time in a long time, it's first of the year, maybe you've never done the church thing and you're just like, you know, a lot of my friends kind of, you know, pursue Jesus, and I've never really tried that. Nothing else has worked, so I think I'll maybe give it a shot and see what it is. Or wherever you are, maybe you're here every week, and you just continue to try to grow in this. You know, it'd be easy if you walk in here for the first time or second time to look around at all these people and be like, "Man, I'm out of my league right here. I mean, these people are spiritual giants. They must have it all together. All these people know exactly what to do, and they spiritually have traction in their life." Let me just tell you, we don't. I mean, you're around a whole bunch of screwed up people. How many of you have some screwed up piece of your life just out of curiosity? I mean, just look around. Nearly every hand and everybody that doesn't is lying, all right? So it's just one of the things that some of us like keep our hands up. We're like, I'm really there, right? It'd be easy when we look at the Bible to be like, oh my gosh, I read these figures in the Bible. We deify these guys, St. Mark, St. Matthew. We name buildings after St. Peter. I mean, these guys are unrelatable. My life is not like their life. But when you begin to read about them and dig into their life, as we're going to do in a moment, you realize these guys are as screwed up as we are. They have issues. In fact, the Apostle Paul, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul in just a moment, one of my favorite guys. The Apostle Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament portion of the Bible. He's the one that wrote it, more than any other figure. All right? In fact, you could even argue that we're sitting here today in this room because of the Apostle Paul. Because back in the first century, he started planting churches all around the Mediterranean rim. And then those churches went out, you know, and concentrically drew a circle and said, we're going to send some people out to start another church, another rim out. And then they sent people to start churches, another rim out. And eventually, a couple thousand years later, it makes it to this half of the world. And so we're here today because of what the Apostle Paul started. In fact, it's why here at Crosspoint, we're going to start a campus this fall, about 25, 30 minutes from here. And we're going to launch that later this fall. There's going to be some exciting news coming up on that here shortly. Launch team meetings, getting ready to head that way. It's going to be exciting. It's because of the Apostle Paul. If you are married or were married, you may have had Paul's words at your wedding to somebody that was doing the ceremony said, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. That's the Apostle Paul. And you might go, dude's a legend. I mean, the guy, he's everywhere. I mean, there's no way I can connect with this guy. All right? Well, just understand, the dude was pretty screwed up. In fact, you know, one of the things Paul says about himself, we'll look at this in a moment, but Paul didn't, he didn't start as a circle of faith. He was never around like religious things. He was a rule follower, judgment person. He's always being judgmental about everybody else. He was throwing Christians in jail. He was even calling for their lives, for them to be murdered. And then one day he actually experienced Jesus in a unique way that gave him a whole different perspective. And it totally changed his view of God. Then he went around and started telling people, hey, do you really know who Jesus is? Because I mean, I thought I did, but I really didn't. I mean, let me tell you who this Jesus is. Totally did a 180. And then he started building into young Christians, and then he started planting churches. But here's one of the things he said about himself. He said, I'm the worst sinner of all. I'm the absolute worst one. And he probably had an argument for that. So I don't want you to ever feel like if you're here, oh man, these are spiritually, you know, astute people or, you know, people in the Bible. Man, these are people screwed up just like you and me. So Paul goes on to write these letters to these young Christians. And I want us to look at one section that's so authentic. It's so real. All right, it's so cool because he begins to help us discover how to tap into God's strength, one habit, one practice, one day at a time. Here's what he says. Paul says, when I am weak, then I'm strong. And so what he's first saying, there's a number of things he's saying right here. First, he's saying that there's a weakness in my life. Now, we don't know what that weakness was. He talks about it being a thorn in his flesh. Now, in the original language, he doesn't explain what the thorn is. People have tried to figure it out for years. We don't know. In the original language he's writing in, it was Greek. If you take the word thorn, that could also be translated in the English language into tent stake. Now, Paul was a tent maker, so it's possible he was kind of saying, hey, it's like I have a tent stake in my side. All right, meaning I've got like this big splinter that's just there and it's irritating. I can never get rid of it. It's a hindrance to me. It's a nuisance. It's like a pebble in your shoe or worse, and it's just there and it's nagging. Whatever it is, he begins to talk to God about it, and he says, when I'm weak, I can also be strong. And we're going, Paul, that doesn't make sense to us. Help us understand this. He basically is saying, well, I've discovered how to tap into God's power, into God's strength, and wouldn't we all like to know how to do that? It's a bit perplexing because this idea of being weak and strong at the same time, that's an oxymoron, right? Oxymorons are like two opposite words when put together, create a whole new meaning, right? Like you guys know oxymorons, right? Like jumbo shrimp, like a shrimp, small, jumbo, big, and put together, it's like a big old shrimp, right? Or like athletic scholarship, like, yeah, I'm a jock. And I got an academic scholarship, an athletic scholarship. Why don't they call it an athletic like funding or something? Scholarship says is too academic, right? You guys don't dig that one. All right. How about this one? Government intelligence. Two ideas that don't go together, but put together mean something entirely different, right? And so what Paul's saying here is when I'm weak, I'm also strong. You're like, how do you do that, Paul? He says, great news. Great news. If you've got a struggle in your life, how many of us have a struggle? Let's admit, can we admit we all have struggles? Can we just lay the playing field like equal and say we all have struggles, myself included? He says, your strength is gonna run out. There's gonna come an end. You may have strength to get to certain places. Your strength's gonna run out, but there's gonna come a point where you can tap into God's strength in those moments and you can develop a consistency that continues to lead to bigger things. And so we're like, how does this work, Paul? You got to explain it to us. Well, he does right here in 2 Corinthians. So here's what he says. He says, but he said to me, now this is us kind of getting a glance in at a conversation between Paul and God. So Paul and God are having this conversation. But he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So the first step is I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. What Paul's saying is you don't have to hide your weaknesses anymore. You don't have to cover your weaknesses up. I actually want you to share it. I want you to do the opposite of that. Share it. In fact, the first pathway he gives us is this. He says, I want you to boast. But boast not about your accomplishments. Boast about, oh my gosh, I'm weak. I need help. I struggle. I don't have it all together. And Paul says, when we boast about our weaknesses, it's actually that moment that creates the opportunity to bring us closer to God. He's basically saying, you know, when we boast about how great we are and how we can do everything we need, we communicate, God, I don't need you. I've got it all on my own. I'm pretty sufficient on my own. I mean, if you could help this little thing right here, but beyond that, I'm good. See, when we boast in our weaknesses, it turns on the faucets of God's power in our life because that's where God's strength comes and begins to help bring strength to things that we don't have the strength to any longer do. Paul's like, no, admitting you're weak actually taps you in to God's power. And then he gives us this second pathway. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect, not in the great things going on in your life. He says, don't boast about those things, but he says, my power is made perfect in the weak places. Paul's showing us that we need grace. He says, yes, we have to admit our weakness. Yes, we need to apply more consistency. But he says, but your strength's going to run out. You've experienced this. You've started something really well, and then it's run out. He says, the second pathway is we've got to ask God, God, can you help me? I don't have to do it on my own strength. God, can you help me in this moment? Can you help me in that moment when you help me and you bring your strength when mine runs out? I continue to create more momentum. Now, this is always a fascinating moment right here for me because I don't know all of your stories. Some of you know my story, some of you don't. But I grew up in the church. So, like, I've been in the church my whole life. I was in the church 9 months before I was even born. I mean, the moment I was conceived, I was going to church. And so I didn't have a choice in it. My dad was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. I didn't plan to be a pastor. Wasn't my plan. I love the church. It was very engaging. I just didn't want, that wasn't how I saw my life going. And then God had a different plan. It took me years to kind of come and relent to actually following God's plan for my life. I love it, but it took me some time to get clear on that. But just because I was in the church my whole life doesn't mean I was always following Jesus. I certainly had outages in terms of having to work through things. I struggled with, could Jesus really accept me? Because I need to do more, be more, use better words. I mean, you name it. Kurt was never good enough. And so I certainly have had my outages, and I've had to work through those. But, you know, being around the church my whole life, there's certain phrases I'll hear every now and then that I still go, huh, why would somebody of faith say that? And they're kind of dangerous even at times. In fact, one of them is right here. Somebody will say, you know, Kurt, you know, I'm a Christian, and I know I probably shouldn't struggle with, and then they'll tell me what they're struggling with. And I'll go, huh. And my huh is more of a, why do we think we shouldn't struggle if we are somebody of faith? Because see, somehow we've associated our struggle as being offensive to God. And God knows it all anyway. It's not like he doesn't know we're struggling. He knows it all before we even talk to him about it. But see, there's something powerful about standing before God and saying, God, I know that you know, that I know, that I'm struggling with this. And I'll often say to God, God, I don't know why I do the things I do. I do stupid things all the time. I don't want to do them, but I do them anyway. And then I even do things, put things in my life to not do them anymore, and then I still do them. I do stupid things, and I can't believe I keep doing them. Anybody else feel that way in their life? I feel that way. Paul's the one that wrote those words. I just equate with them. I'm like, I don't know why I do some of the things I do. And you know what Paul says? In those moments, you say, God, will you help me? My strength is run out right here, and I do things I don't want to do. I need your strength. I need to realize I'm insufficient right here. So the first pathway is to boast, admit your weaknesses. Second pathway to ask, God, can you help me right here? And this is interesting as well. I've also discovered something about people that ask for help. It's very counterintuitive. But people who can admit they're weak and ask for help, you're actually really strong. In fact, guys, let me talk to you for just a moment. Guys, if you've checked out, just zone back in for a moment, because sometimes as guys, we're like, it's not for me. I mean, it's not landing with me. Let me say something to you about weakness and strength. It takes a really strong man to admit you're weak. It takes a really strong man to admit that, you know, I don't have it all together, and I need some help. And the more you can admit that, I tell you what, the more strength, the more attractive that is. And so the third pathway he goes on to, he gives one more. It says, for the sake of Christ, and I am content with weakness and insults and hardship and persecutions and calamities. Now look at these five words right here. These words are interesting because I don't know about you, but that's my life every single week. I don't know about you, but like I look at my week and I'm like, I certainly experience moments of weakness during my week. I have insults that come my way. I deal with hardships where I'm like, man, I just got to push through this thing. I feel like I'm regularly during the week dealing with persecutions where I'm like in a corner and I've got to figure my way out of this corner. And I almost every week deal with calamities. Now, you may not know the word calamities. It basically means things just blow up right in front of you. And I'm like, man, things blow up and I have to figure out how to put the pieces together and create a plan all the time. And what Paul's saying right here is this isn't like a one-time thing, like, hey, when that happens once, then I'll come and help you. Paul's saying, no, this is going to be a regular rhythm. And when you reach to me in those moments and you receive from me, you're going to be building something into your life. So here's the third pathway he's telling us right here. He says, I want you to receive my strength daily. I'm going to daily give you strength to get through those things because that's going to be a normal part of your life. And see, here's what's so important on this. When God's strength and his power consistently intersects with our weakness, that's where we grow. When his power consistently intersects with our weakness, that's where we grow. And here's one thing I want you to hear this morning. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, I want you to hear this thing. In fact, this may be the very reason that you're sitting in the room this morning. All right, so if you've started a grocery list, or men, if you're doing DraftKings, or women, if you're doing DraftKings, just, you know, zone back in. Here's what I want you to hear. God is not disappointed in you. Let me say it again. God is not disappointed in you. It's easy to go, oh my gosh, I'm not consistent, and I've started this, I've not finished. Listen, God is not disappointed in you. He knows that you're going to need help. He actually wants to help you. See, when I think back to my childhood years, you know, whenever my dad would have to discipline me, and I know some of you are like, man, Kurt, I just can't believe your dad had to discipline you. That just blows me away. I was disciplined all the time, all right? When my dad had to discipline me, he would never come to me and say, Kurt, I am so disappointed in you. You know what he'd usually say? He'd say, Kurt, I think you forgot who you are. We don't behave that way. And then he'd spank the daddy right out of me. You know, when I discipline my kids, I mean, I don't go to them and I'm not like, oh, I'm so disappointed in what you did or who you are. No, you know, I'll say to them, I'll say something like, man, I think you forgot who you are. I don't think you're living out of the greatness that's in you because there's a much better person inside of there than what I'm seeing right now. I think I need to see a better version of you because I know it's there, but you're just not living out of the best version of yourself right now. I mean, I'm calling them to a higher standard. That's what God's doing for us right here. And he says, if you'll do these three things, if when you, you know, if you will boast and admit your weakness, it's the first step. Man, God, I need your help, which leads to the second one. God, can you help me? And the third one, receive strength daily. And in those moments, as you're trying to get traction, because your strength's going to run out, he says, guess what? You're going to receive a power, and there's going to be a strength and a momentum. And daily, you're going to begin to see God write this chapter in this year of your life. And it could be possibly the best year ever. Simply because of these three things. So, what do we do with this? Well, I want to give you some very, very practical things this week to go out and do, put into place, so you can walk this out this week. So, on the back of your connection card are some next steps, and I want you to take those out, grab a pen, and I'm going to walk through these real quick. The big idea right here is don't go at it alone. All right, you do not have to do this by yourself. First two things fall into this category. The first one on here is you need to surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you. All right, you hear us talk about small groups around here, you know, until we're red in the face, blue in the face, every color in the face. Why? It's not because we're like, wow, we need more groups. We know groups work. Let me tell you what a small group is. A small group is not a Bible study. It is a group of people that meet consistently over time. And they encourage each other consistently. They get together and they walk alongside one another consistently. They celebrate when there's moments to celebrate. They cry with people when there's moments that we're just burdened. And they're trying to figure out life just like you're trying to figure out life. That's what a small group experience is. They kick off in 2 weeks. We believe everybody needs a small group because we need that kind of people in our life. A friend of mine always talks about we need two families. We need a family of origin, which is the family we're birthed into, and we need a family of choice, which is the family we choose to be a part of to consistently walk through life in. You need a place where you're going to hear things from people that are just going to help you, you know, do another day. That's what small groups are. I mean, you can sign up for them. You know, see Chris in the comments. He'll help you find one. We have short-term groups that are very growth-focused, like, you know, Starting Point, if you're new to faith, about 12 of you received Christ last weekend, which is awesome. Man, Starting Point really needs to be your next step. Financial peace, if you're struggling financially, if divorce has, you know, impacted your life, divorce care is huge, 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 huge. Sexual abuse support, addiction support. You need a group of people walking alongside. I just encourage you to find a small group. You don't have to do it alone. The second thing I would say on, you know, don't go at it alone is just continue to return on weekends. I encourage you to commit to return next weekend. It's the second next step. I'll be here next weekend. This is the most chosen next step on this card. I'll get notes from people that say, you know why I came back? It was because you put on there, hey, I'll come back next weekend. I've never really returned to church, but I marked it, so I decided to come back. Every weekend, if you're newer here at Cross Point, every weekend, our goal is just to create an opportunity and experience for you that you want to come back to again one more time. That's our goal. It's a simple goal. And so if you're here regularly, just you know the value. God's not angry if you're not in church. Let me just be clear. Some people think, oh, if I'm not in church, God's going to strike me down. No. It's for your benefit. It's for my benefit so that we can be encouraged in our week, so we can hear things we aren't going to hear in the corporate world. We're not going to hear anywhere else, so we can be challenged forward. And let me just say, it's not just for adults. I mean, we have kids that benefit from this as well. Our kids need this consistency as well. In fact, our kids, we have four, have gone through all the kids' environments here at Cross Point. They all started in Wombaland, which is, you know, infant, preschool, toddlers. All of them went through that kids' environment, loved it. We have one now in Upstreet, which is kindergarten through fourth grade. She loves being here. She's here today. She's here Thursday night. She's here on Sunday. She loves being with her friends in Upstreet because of the connection, because of the leaders that are a part of her life, what she's learning. Our older three have gone through Area 56, which is fifth and sixth graders, happening right now out in the commons in the garage area. Kids are being built into. They're developing friendships, being spiritually built up. Our older three now are in CSM, Cross Point Student Ministries. We have a 13-year-old, 15-year-old, and 17-year-old. And they love CSM. They don't miss it. They plan things around that. The consistency of that builds into their life. Let me tell you how important the small group leaders are to our kids. In fact, I'll just use my oldest daughter as an example. Our oldest daughter, Macy, she invites her six or eight small group leaders she's had over the last 5 or 6 years to nearly every event she has, her sporting events, her school choir events. She invites them. They come. They come and build into her even in those moments. She's going to graduate this spring. I guarantee you they will be at her party. She'll invite them to her party. They'll be there. When she's 46 and we let her get married, they're going to be at her wedding. All right? They will show up with their walkers. All right? They'll be there. But that's how important those people are to her. All right? I'm just telling you, consistency, the best gift as a parent you can give to your kids is to consistently expose them to community, to growth, and things speaking in their life. You do this with sports. Why do we do it with sports repetitionally? Because we know it takes small things grow to big things. Third next step I want to give you is I want to give you a prayer this morning. I want to give you a prayer based on everything we've looked at today. And just to recap, we believe this year can be better than last year. We believe it's going to take consistency if that's going to happen. It's going to require strength, and you're going to have strength, but eventually your strength is going to fail. But the good news is you can tap into God's strength, which will never fail. So I want to give you a prayer, and you can fill this in on your connection card. You're going to need to write this in, or if you've got it in the app, it's there for you. You can screenshot it and take it with you this week. Here's the prayer. Lord, I need you. Give me your strength for today. Just write that in there. Lord, I need you. I want you to give me your strength for today. And this is basically 1 Corinthians 12. I mean, what I just kind of taught out of what Paul said. Lord, I need you. I'm admitting my weakness. Please give me. I'm going to ask for help because my strength's going to run out. I'm going to run out of strength. But I need your strength now. That mine's run out. I need your strength for today. In fact, let's just say it together. Ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Lord, I need you. Give me. See, it's easy to say it, right? You can do this week. I want to encourage you to make that your prayer this week. I want you to start your day with this prayer. I want you in the middle of your day, in that area, whatever your area you're working on, you want to gain momentum on, I want you to use that prayer. In fact, here's what we're going to do. When you leave today, you're going to receive a marble. You're going to receive a small marble. And I want to encourage you to put this in your pocket, in your purse, in the console of your car, in your desk at work, wherever you're going to see it daily. In fact, I had a guy come up to me Thursday night. We gave some little gift tags out and wrote a word on it back in the Christmas season. And he pulled it out of his pocket Thursday night and said, you know, I always thought these things were gimmicks when you gave us this. It's just gimmicky. He said, I pulled this out of my pocket this week when I was in a meeting, really intense meeting with one of my business cards. And there was my tag that reminded me of what God is to me. And that's exactly what I needed in that moment. So that's what I want this marble to be for you this week. I want this to be that reminder of this prayer. So that when you're going, you know, God, man, financially, I'm trying to get to a new place. God, I need you. Give me your strength for today. And relationally, God, as I work on this relationship, I need you. I'm out of strength on this. I need your strength for today. In my job, as I'm trying to have this difficult conversation, my strength's kind of at its end. I'm emotionally at the end of my rope. I need you. Give me strength for today. And the goal is to fill this jar. And I tell you what, when we fill this jar, we know small things done over time consistently to big things. And I think it might lead you to the best year. And I think God's going to write an incredible chapter this year. There's going to be moments where you slide back. There always are. Remember, it's the small things done consistently over time. So that's going to be our prayer this week. That's my prayer for you right now. Lord, I need you. Give us strength for today. We're going to sing a couple songs that tie us into this. So let's go ahead and stand. And as you stand, I want to remind you that you have a strong, strong ally in Jesus who wants you to be successful, have the best year yet. So let's sing this and tie into that this morning.